Welcome to Creative Warriors, a community of purpose-driven entrepreneurs, creative thinkers in business doing what we are meant to do. I'm your host, Jeffrey Shaw. Hey, everybody. Today, I am very excited to introduce my friend, Rick Tamlin. So welcome, Rick.
Hi. Hello, Jeff. Hello, everybody who's listening.
It's great to have you here. Let me tell you a little bit about what I know about Rick, and then we'll have Rick share some of his thoughts with us. So Rick Tamlin inspires people to be their best. His compelling purpose is to encourage and assist others so that when they reach the end of their lives, they can say, that was a great life, rather than, I wish I had done more. In 2001, Rick co-created The Bigger Game, a tool that inspires people from all walks of life to get out of their comfort zones and invent the lives they want. Rick is the author of Play Your Bigger Game, 9 minutes to learn a lifetime to live. As a trusted advisor for Fortune 100 companies, small businesses, nonprofits, and churches, he has built a global audience speaking and conducting workshops in more than 17 countries. His current bigger game is to activate millions of people around the world to play their own compelling bigger games. Rick is a certified professional co-active coach and a master certified coach as designated by the International Coach Federation, and is a senior trainer for the Coaches Training Institute, a world-renowned coach training and leadership development organization, which is how I know Rick. I am a participant in the CTI Leadership Development Program, and Rick is one of the two amazing facilitators. So I am really excited to share Rick's wisdom with all of you. So Rick, tell us something about who you are, not what you do, something your bio doesn't say that would help us connect with you personally.
Well, first of all, it's just great to be with you and sort of a moment of you, Jeff, sort of bringing your leadership to the world. Here it is, right? Here you are bringing a message of other people's messages to the world. So thank you for having me a part of that leadership project that you're on. So congratulations to starting this. Something about me. Well, here's what I believe. I believe that it's all made up. And what I mean by that is that really life is truly all made up, and we get to pick the perspective we have about life. We get to create the life we want because we're given freedom of choice there. And it's a phrase that I grabbed onto probably 30 years ago when I was in my 20s, and somebody actually said it to me. I was at a workshop, and this guy said to me, I was all twisted and I was all stuck, and he said, it's all made up, Rick. And I was like, it's kind of like the those moments when people say something to you and the heavens open up and you sort of vibrate and you're like, you start to sweat. It was that moment of, oh my gosh, it really is all made up. Now, that's a philosophical viewpoint. It can really tweak some people. What it does really activate in people is they have to then take personal responsibility of what do you want to make up with your life. So that's a little bit about what I believe. I don't know if I'm answering your question fully about what I'm about, but that's the overarching philosophy that drives everything I do and all the messages that I bring out, is to remind people they are the creators of their life. Because it's all made up, they get to create it any way they want. And I think people forget that all the time. We become victimized by our circumstances. We become stuck in our own thinking patterns. I could go on and on about why we don't do that. So I run around the world and remind people and say, it's all made up. Really, it really is.
I think it says actually a lot about who you are, because having read Play Your Bigger Game, which we're going to talk about extensively, you're a master of that. You've made an incredible, incredible life, and your story of your journey was amazing. And I also want to ask you is, what's the best that you can share with our audience? What's the best piece of advice you ever received, a meaningful quote or a favorite book other than your own that you would offer to inspire us?
I think the most, I'm going to go to the book question. I think the most influential book I read in my late teens, I think it just had just come out, it was The Road Less Traveled. The Road Less Traveled, and I'm forgetting the author right now. Do you remember the name of the author?
You probably Scott Peck.
Yes, Scott Peck. Thank you, Dr. Scott Peck. And it really was about sort of the perspective we're in and viewpoint I have of life creates my life is really the backdrop of that whole thing. And, you know, the metaphor of the road less traveled is let me go down the path that is sort of not the norm. And bigger game is right out of that energy. Bigger game is not about doing business as usual. So I think the other big piece of advice I got was it's more of a do trust your instincts. You know, trust your own inner guidance, your own inner guide, you know, and whatever folks think about this guy, but, you know, Steve Jobs really has become a little bit of my, one of my inner voices to guide the intuition, you know, he trusted into his intuition with all of his products, you know. That organization, Apple, has never done a product test with anybody in the public ever in its history. You know, there's no, what do they call it when they do test markets, when they bring people in?
And focus group.
Yeah, group. You know, never, ever, ever.
That's a great point. Yeah.
You know, so that guy's operated from sort of, and that organization operates from its own instinct, so...
Yeah. And confidence.
And confidence, right? Yeah, exactly. And I think so the advice is to, you know, to operate from our own inner instinct versus what do I think the world wants from me. Very
awesome.
Different. What do I want to express in the world is very different than what do I think the world needs from me.
So, and I read Play Your Bigger Game, and I have to say I had a different response to what playing your bigger game meant than I expected.
Yeah.
So, can you share?
Well, what'd you come up with? Can I just tell me that? Can you give me a highlight? I know I'm going to put you on the spot.
I was afraid you're going to go there. No, I totally. You know, I was going to check in with you first to see what you intended it. No, in all fairness, I will share. So, for me, it wasn't about upping your game. You know,
right.
I mean, you know me. I already play life pretty big.
Yes.
That the bigger, if you will, was a whole different space.
Yes.
Okay, so it felt to me that playing your bigger game was like walking towards something you don't know how you're going to get there, and it had less a sense of strategy and goals to it. So it was a bit indescribable. I said the closest I can come to was space and context.
Yep.
Of your bigger game.
Yep. No, it's really well said. Well, here's a distinction to play with right out of the gate, which is a bit subtle in the book on purpose. You know, the job of this book is to sort of activate from the inside out. It's not a content prescriptive book. You know, it's more storytelling and a more like essence-y. Like it touches the soul and the heart and has you go, well, that's interesting. What does that mean for me? You know, that was the intent of the book rather than, you know, follow these 72 steps and you'll become that. I think there's enough of those books in the world. You know, I mean, it gives enough content with the bigger game model or the bigger game board, which we can go into if you want to. But it was more about, let me try to activate people's sort of inner thinking or inner instinct, using my word earlier. But here's the big distinction. I've been coaching for many, many years, 25 years, and executives and, you know, down the list. I noticed over the years, I started to become exhausted with myself and with my clients around goals. I think goals are overrated. Now, this is radical. You know, we're a goal-oriented world. You know, I want to double my profits next year, and I do a lot of organizational work with teams, and, you know, everybody is focused on the outcome or the goal. And the metaphor that I play with here, rather than focusing on the goal, what's the game you're really playing? And by the way, then the goals will then show up. So goals are sort of an outcome, a result of the game I'm really playing.
Can I read back to you
Yeah.
one of your own part of the book that was
cool.
a favorite
I'm nervous. Oh, yes.
A favorite part of the book for me was goals have a useful purpose in life and business. Yet sometimes our fixation at goals, which is a deep-rooted comfort zone, which we'll talk about a little bit later, our fixation at goals narrows our vision to the point that we miss out on the larger context.
Yeah.
So explain that a little further, because, I mean, yeah, for most entrepreneurs, we are really goal-oriented.
We are very goal-oriented, absolutely. And this is a slippery slope. This is like a bit of a paradox. You know, both things are true. Goals are important. I want to reach my goals, too. I want to double my income. You know, we all want these things. But what I'm speaking to is, what do we focus on? I think the simplest example is, think of a sports coach, a soccer game. You know, right now the world soccer thing is going on. Very exciting to watch the U.S. win last night in the final seconds. You know, it was an amazing moment. But if you think about it, the coach on the sidelines is not yelling at the team to score more goals, right? It's not saying, you know, run faster, you know, score goals. I mean, the team knows how to, they know what to do. Their job is to put that little ball in that net. So the context of goals is already in the thinking. But when you talk about good coaching and good leadership, it's like, well, what's the type of game that the team is playing? And then, oh, look, the goal happened. You know, is it a defensive game right now, or do we need to be more offensive? Or what's the type of play will generate the goal?
Mm. You said that actually beautifully in the book, where you mentioned about focusing on, it's easy to get caught up in focusing on the money, right?
Yep.
And you offered us an idea, focus on the impact and the money will follow. The impact you want to create for others, and the money will follow. In the same way, you give another example where companies, particularly after the recession, we have to innovate now. We have to be better now. And there's a way in which forcing that makes it not happen. So what's at play?
Yeah, well, again, I think the way to think about it is, imagine there's two windows and they're like 10 feet apart, you know, and I look through that window and I'm sort of giving people a metaphor to play with here. In the right-hand window, if you're looking at a window, in the right-hand window is the outcomes and the goals. And the left-hand window is the game I'm really playing. And we get so fixated on that right window. And in that window is, you know, innovate. You need to be more confident. You know, again, I do a lot of organizational work, and I'm hearing out there, there's a confidence issue. Really, I'm hearing there's a confidence issue. And so what they're doing is trying to train people to become more confident. And I just kind of like put my head in my hands and go, oh my gosh, stop focusing on the outcome called more confidence. Give them a compelling game to play, or find out what's the game they really want to play, by the way, that's so compelling for them, they will then become confident for the sake of that game. So it's a shift on where to look and where to point our attention. Now again, I know I'm overusing this example, but Apple, really, he came back into the system, Steve Jobs, when it was bankrupt, and he literally said in meetings, if you've read the books, which I have, he said, we will not be discussing numbers and money in these meetings, ever. It was like a blanket, no outcome, no goal, no money conversation will be had in this room. We're going to talk about why we're here on the planet. We're going to talk about what's the impact we want to have on people's lives, to your point earlier, Jeff.
Yeah, fantastic.
So he shifted the conversation, and of course, what did they do? They got busy, and they invented stuff that's just blowing our world, right? So there you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if I may also, I'll share, I love the fact you put this in the book, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. I mean, wow, it doesn't get, you know, how powerful is that? But you extracted, I think, one of the most significant parts of that book, which I think speaks as well. So I'll quote Viktor Frankl, don't aim at success. The more you aim at it and make it a target, the more you're going to miss it. For success, like happiness, cannot be pursued. It must ensue. Love that.
Yeah.
And it only does so as the unintended side effect of one's dedication to a cause greater than oneself.
Exactly. That's the whole point of bigger game. What's the cause that grabs you, that has you jump out of bed and go, this matters to me so much? And then, oh my gosh, wow, look, people are asking me for more business, and look, checks are coming in. Doesn't mean keep, you know, put your head in the sand about money, but man, focusing on the money in our culture has become just overwhelming and got so many people twisted.
And there's so much, you know, I also hear in that a lot, and this is a term, a word, commitment, I feel coming up a lot. I mean, there's a way in which, I know I said to somebody recently that at the end of the day, good marketing is all about commitment. Good marketing is about your commitment to get the message out that you feel is your bigger game. So how is commitment wrapped up in all this?
It's a great question. Well, I think it's that great quote, I'm going to get it wrong. You know, when one is committed, providence sets in. I forget who said it, but basically it's when you are fully, you know, your whole body and your soul and your mind is in this game, if you will, this thing you want to create or this impact you want to have with your life, the world then goes, oh, that's what they're up to. and all of a sudden things start to show up. They literally put things in front of you. Like, things come out of the woodwork that were not on your list. I mean, I could write reams of pieces of paper and make a list of things that have showed up in my life that were so not on my strategic plan. You can hear it in me, and this can really challenge some people. I'm not a strategic planner guy. I think the distinction is, you know, does one lead sort of lean strategically, or does one lean organically? Organic living versus strategic living. And I tend to live organically. I know what I'm about. I know what the message is. I dare to put it out there. Yes, I have to have a strategy for social media. I need to be responsible there, but I'm sort of not in the business development conversation very much. Business is just finding its way to me, versus I'm having to go get it.
Can you share one of the standout stories in your book? Hopefully you're able to share it. It's the story about Bob, Dr. Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
And his bigger game story.
I know, right?
It really exemplified
I know.
The scratch your head moment. Like, okay, that's a bigger game. So can you share with our listeners that story?
Yeah, no, it's a great one. I just love that guy. I just chatted with him the other day. So this guy lives in L.A., and I started working with him many years ago. He's a friend from college, you know, and this guy's not a studier. He's not going to be a go-get-a-9-to-5 job. He's outside-the-box alternative, not going to participate in sort of classic corporate America, just not interested. So he moves to L.A., I'm in L.A., you know, we gather, we connect, and I'm just learning coaching at the time and learning about how to support people. So we start to have this conversation about what he really likes and what matters to him in life, and, you know, out of this conversation, and I'll try to bottom line this, you know, out pops Christmas. I mean, this guy's addicted and loves Christmas, loves creating it for his family, and out of this conversation, we start to turn up the entrepreneurship in him and realize, well, what if you started to really decorate Christmas trees for Hollywood stars? Because he had been a showroom decorator in New York City for Bloomingdale's and Macy's and that kind of stuff. So he knew how to do it. I mean, he had an artistic eye as well. He's naturally an artist. So he launches his little Christmas business, and he names himself Dr. Christmas, because in Hollywood, you know, once you have an identity, you start to pump it out into the world. And sure enough, word of mouth, you know, go get this guy, and he's decorating Christmas trees for Hollywood stars. Now, I mean, this rocked my world. You know, I won't go into the numbers, but he's charging numbers that would rock your world to decorate Christmas trees, or to do their whole home, or to do the yard. I mean, you know, these are multi-million dollar people that dropping $50,000 or $75,000 is nothing for these people to create an amazing Hollywood experience of Christmas in their home. So,
to me, it was a perfect example, because it almost isn't possible to get your head around the idea of where this could have led financially, which means it was the focus on him playing his bigger game that brought the results, because you couldn't possibly focus on those results.
No.
They're so ridiculous.
They're ridiculous. If somebody had said, you know, go, you know, people will pay $50,000 to have your Christmas tree done in your home, people are like, oh, you're crazy? It's craziness, you know.
Yeah.
He just started to do it. People just started to tell each other. And then somebody, I think one of his clients said, you know, you could charge more for this. You know, I would pay you more. And he was like, oh, okay. You know, so, and then fast forward, it's played itself out. He realized he loves movies, he loves entertainment, and he opened up a prop house for props for Christmas stuff. So we have all seen, either on television or in the theater or in movies, his stuff in the background. Anytime there's a Christmas scene, probably from his prop house.
Wow.
So just sort of a fascinating unfolding of a business out of this energy of his bigger game of, I want to bring, and his bigger game is, I want to bring Christmas to as many people as possible.
Exactly. And as I think you know, I mean, I'm working on a book, which I hope to get out this fall. And it actually speaks to that, because when we are when we're playing our bigger game, when we're on our purpose, the fact of the matter is, as creative entrepreneurs, we can change mediums as often as we want to. I don't think we really change too far from our bigger game. We're just changing mediums. And a lot of creative entrepreneurs are so caught up in the traditional business message of niche marketing that you have to do one thing, that it has completely stifled creativity, to the point that I'm out to, you know, really, that's my bigger game. My bigger game is to reverse that traditional knowledge, which I think is just stifling creative entrepreneurs. others and saying, hey, you can be on purpose, you can be playing your bigger game, and you can express that in a variety of mediums.
I completely concur.
Yeah,
I love your word medium. It's like that medium can change at any given moment.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
But the thread of my purpose is all through there, my bigger game.
Your bigger game,
yeah. You know, it's all in there.
So the I love the way you prefaced we talked about the book, Play Your Bigger Game, and you referenced it as a contextual book. However, what I love what you've created is that it has with it a very tangible game,
yeah.
Which is explained in the book, but then it also has become workshops and retreats. So tell us about the bigger game, the actual game.
Well, it's we borrowed the structure of a tic-tac-toe board. So imagine a tic-tac-toe board, and we call it the bigger game board. And there are 9 elements to it, just like in a tic-tac-toe board. It's hard to do this sort of over a phone, an audio call. I want to show it to everybody, but you can go to thebiggergame.com or ricktamla.com to see it. But imagine a tic-tac-toe board. There's 9 elements. These 9 words, by the way, most people know. They're not foreign. But
may I read them? I have them in front
of
me.
Yeah, I was
okay.
Going to go there. Perfect.
Yeah. They are, so the nine squares, if you will, are, although you very nicely in the book explain, although they may be square in shape, they are not by any means boxes.
Yes.
Love that. Okay, so these 9 segmented parts of the board are comfort zones, hunger, compelling purpose, bold action, gulp, sustainability, allies, investment, and assets. Is it?
Assess.
I was so stuck on saying that wrong. Assess.
That's okay.
So you have these 9 pieces making up the tic-tac-toe board. Now what happens?
Well, this is a little frame of where this came from. So many years ago, Laura Whitworth, one of the co-founders of CTI, and myself started to talk about our coaching clients. We started to, not the details of their life, but sort of the high level. And we realized there was a theme. And the theme of the most successful clients, these 9 elements started to sort of emerge. You know, people were compelled by something, compelling purpose. They realized they couldn't do it alone, allies. They were really hungry to have a positive impact with their life, hunger. They were conscious of their comfort zones, of their behaviors and patterns that served them, and their behaviors and patterns that did not serve them. That's the comfort zone square. Gulp. That's the energy of, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do this, but I must do this because I'm so compelled by it. So they're sort of living on that tension edge between, I don't know how, I'm thrilled, I'm excited, but I'm a little scared, you know, at the same time. So there's that quality and that energy of gulp, and the term means, you know, you're swallowing heavy, you know, those moments in life when you're like, oh gosh, that's why we use that term. Investment has to do with, what do I need to invest in to make this game real? You know, Jeff, right now you're having these phone calls with people who are in line with your message, and you're investing deeply in your bigger game by having these calls. That's a great example of that. Sustainability, that's about designing the game that it could go on without you if it wanted to. Because otherwise it's a little bit of the ego game. You know, if I leave it, oh, it's over. Great example of this is Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MAD. A global organization founded by 2 women who said, not okay with me that I lost my children to alcohol and driving. Started an organization called MAD, and nobody knows the names of the founders anymore. It goes on by itself. So that's sustainability. Also, that square has to do with taking care of yourself. Boy, sometimes we can get so into the game, quote unquote, we forgot that, oh, I need to take care of myself. I need to go on a vacation. I need to take care of my body better. I need to work out more for the sake of the game. So sustainability has to do with sustaining self. That has to do with money. I'm always telling entrepreneurs, please do not have your point of entry into your entrepreneurship be the driver of needing you to put money on the table, or excuse me, food on the table. Go get money handled somewhere else. Because if you need the business of your sort of entrepreneur, your bigger game to be the only way to get food on the table, it's going to have a demand on it. Like Bob, Dr. Christmas,
yeah.
You know, he was a waiter. Like I told him, go get money handled somewhere else. Let this Christmas tree thing grow. Which it did. So, and then bold action, of course, is in the center, it's the center square. without bold action, this is all just a good idea and a hope someday, and I am exhausted by the number of people that have good ideas that don't move on them because they're just sort of stuck, quote unquote, they're stuck in a comfort zone.
Yeah. And you actually refer to, and I really got to understand it, you refer to the game as a great way to get unstuck because you reference, so you can start at any point in this board.
You
it's
are.
Not, right. It's not a board
not
game.
Linear.
Right. It's not linear. You can start and reside. And actually, it's one of my big takeaways from the book was what you had to say about comfort zones. And I love the fact that you said that comfort zones, particularly today and in our world of self-help, it gets a bad rap. Like comfort zones are getting a bad rap. So in what way are comfort zones healthy?
The simplest way to think about it is, first of all, they're behaviors or patterns or things that I do or think that either serve me or they don't. So the question becomes in the comfort zone square, what am I doing that's serving me? Like brushing my teeth every day is a comfort zone. I do it every day. It serves me. Please continue to do it. You know, having anxiety about money drifting into my thinking throughout my day, a comfort zone I don't even notice half the time until somebody points it out, you know, and it doesn't serve me. Mm-hmm. And so the distinction, the question to ask in there is, does it serve me or not? But here's the coolest thing or the sort of the way out of those comfort zones that don't serve us. The way to think about this is, without a good enough reason, most of us will not leave our comfort zones. And compelling purpose, the square that's sort of opposite it on the top line of the bigger game board, is many times the good enough reason to leave the comfort zone. So when the going gets tough for me, you know, I get caught in a behavior or a pattern that's not serving, I go, so what's my compelling purpose again? Oh, yeah, right. My compelling purpose is to wake people up to their greatness, or whatever the phrase is.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean,
pulls me right out.
Yeah. Well, most people may not know of me is my comfort zone would be just, you know, I live on this little island off of Manhattan and I just would stay in sweatshorts and be perfectly happy.
Right.
Except for that damn compelling purpose.
Yes,
pulls me out and says, nope, Jeff, there's work to do. You know,
work to be
do.
Done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, so I get that.
You know,
beautiful.
So it's just we need it. Many times we need a good enough reason. And I'm always telling people who use this model and use this work is, when the going gets tough, ask yourself, what's your compelling purpose again? And see if it pulls you. Because, by the way, a bigger game must pull you. If you're pushing too hard and forcing, it's not a bigger game. You got to be pulled by it.
Yeah. In fact, you even say in the book that if it's easy for you to do, it's not a bigger game.
Yeah. If it feels easy all the time, not a bigger game. What I wish for people is easy days of work and easy flow with it. But, you know, here's an example. For me, getting more coaching clients, I feel blessed at this point in my life. You know, it's not a bigger game. It's easy. That can sort of happen. You know, touching a million people with a bigger game message, now that's a bigger game. I don't know how to do that.
Got
and that's the other big key point here is, if you know how to do it, not a bigger game.
Great, great way to wrap that up. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you our discovery round questions. So while you're preparing yourself for these thought-provoking questions, we're going to hear about our friend Business Buddy, and then we'll be right back.
Let's face it, being an entrepreneur can be challenging. What does every entrepreneur need when taking the road less traveled? A buddy. You need businessbuddy.org. Businessbuddy.org is your online resource and coaching support, like Business Buddy Happy Hour, 1 hour a month of live coaching with Business Buddy to get all your important business questions answered. Watch compelling training videos with Business Buddy Training. Business Buddy Media Cafe has a podcast every week featuring outstanding guests with a wealth of information, plus so much more in Business Buddy Development and Business Buddy Water Cooler. BusinessBuddy.org inspires, educates, and supports your personal buddy to get you on track and keep you going. Check out BusinessBuddy.org and start your free trial today.
All right, Rick, time for our discovery round questions. First question.
It's like a game show.
Ah, I know. Especially my entry there, right?
Yeah, yeah, good game show for you.
Good to know. It's my bigger game. Who knew? So the first question is, what drives you crazy?
Oh, that's a great question. I think what drives me crazy is the word isn't laziness. It's more, it's not quite right. It's when people forget that they can create their lives. I mean, it sounds a little like a platitude kind of energy here, or the platitude perspective, but when I hear people being stuck and very committed to the stuck place they're in, like they just are like, this, you don't understand. This, you know, I'm really, it's kind of victim, I think. The victim place can really drive me crazy. I have a lot of compassion for it, so I don't sort of yell or respond in a negative way, but when I hear it over time, I'm like, wow, it just starts to eat at me. Mm-hmm. Organizations, teams, individuals, it doesn't matter what it is. I was recently working with a group, and you know, the voice inside that team was, you know, it's just never going to get any better.
Right. I love that terminology. The terminology you use, being stuck to, being committed to being stuck.
Yeah,
really interesting. I like that.
Yeah, well, they just don't even see it, right?
So the second question: looking back, what's something that you can't believe you did for your career?
Oh gosh. A number of years ago, I'll be very succinct, I was asked by IBM, by the way, to do a keynote in Vietnam in front of about 800 IBMers, and there were, I think, 10 countries in the room, and they wanted bigger game as the topic. And they asked, you know, to like a keynote, an hour and a half. And I remember offstage before, like, oh my God. I was petrified. I just, you know, what was I thinking? You know, and I wasn't even sure Bigger Game was a sticky enough topic or that it had enough teeth to it. And I went out on that stage and I gave it everything I had. I just let it rip. And I was bold and I was provocative and the room loved it. And I share that because I think it was a bold action. I think it was, you know, I was compelled by impacting these people's lives. And it had a quality of nothing to lose. And I really thank IBM for that, because that was the event that put Bigger Game on the map in my heart and in my soul, that this actually had, it was sticky and it had power and it had impact on people's lives, because that room of 800 people was sort of woken up to
Very
change
cool.
their conversation. So that was a pretty profound moment.
I'd say so. Awesome. What's one thing, technology or otherwise, that you have found that makes your business or life easier?
I can certainly go to technology, but I have to say I have a partner in this, you know, in my language, a co-player, my partner, Chuck, who I could not even begin to do any of the work I do in the world. You know, he's sort of the behind-the-scenes guy to make all of what I want to create in the world real. So if I were to give anybody advice, I would not recommend doing any of this kind of work or entrepreneurship in the world alone.
Great advice.
I just think alone is overrated, and it's so hard.
Love that. All right, so in our last discovery round question is, and I think you can relate to this living where you do in upstate New York. Imagine you are sitting around a campfire, and out of the darkness appears your greatest enemy, which does not have to be a person. What inner warrior inside yourself do you call upon, and why?
Do you want me to name the first part first, the person that shows up, that's the shadow side, you mean? And then,
well, what's the warrior? I mean, by defining the warrior,
yeah.
I guess that would let us know what's showing up. But either way,
yeah.
It's your
yeah,
question.
I get it. Well, the inner part of me that I'm going to speak to that sort of doesn't serve me, you know, that I have a pretty strong doubter, you know, that part of me that doubts, you know, will this work? And that can get pretty activated. And I think that's pretty common when you're playing a bigger game, because it, you know, wow, I don't know if this can be really real or... but the warrior that I call upon, it's two people. It's people who are no longer on this earth plane. So they live in the spiritual domain for me. So they're on the other side, but they're in a bigger context, you know, but it's primarily the energy of my dad and the voice of Laura Whitworth, one of the founders of Bigger Game and CTI. I sort of have melded these two forces in my brain, and I literally call upon them and say, okay, I'm kind of stuck. What do you got? And I got to tell you, every time I lean in there, something comes in. Hmm. So, and I think out of that, I just want to say one more thing. I think one of the key things as an entrepreneur and as a person who's bringing messages to the world, which I know many of your folks are, when I finally realize that I'm not the source of the message, I'm just simply the vehicle for the message, that changed everything. Like, it's coming through me, it's not coming from me. All of a sudden took the pressure off my ego to have to come up with something profound. Because we get so caught in it's got to be profound. Instead of what's coming through me is a very different way to go through life. And so as a source of the messages, I look to my dad and to Laura and of course to the sort of the higher power of me. I believe in a higher power. I believe in a spiritual source. And I think that's important.
Well, thank you for sharing. That's a very intimate, personal side of that.
No worries.
I appreciate sharing that.
You're welcome. Pretty out about that, so no problem.
So how can people reach you and find out what you're up to?
Yeah, no, it's great. Pretty simple. There's Rick Tamlyn, you know, www.ricktamlyn, RickTamlyn.com. That'll get you to lots of doorways. There's videos and there's monthly newsletters and I have monthly calls. There's workshops around the world. More products to come and a second book is on its way. And so there's lots of messages coming.
Awesome. And we will make your workshops, we'll make everything we can available on our landing page, creative-warriors.com, where you can not only get Rick's connecting with Rick, but offer small previous guests as well. And for those of you that are members of Business Buddy, don't forget to check out the members area for the bonus insights from today's broadcast. So Rick, I want to thank you very much for being here.
Oh my gosh, what a pleasure. Your questions are so good that all I have to do is sort of think of, like, it just wakes me up to what am I really doing and then what am I really saying? So thank you for the good question.
Well, I know you're an awesome, busy guy, so I appreciate you taking the time with us.
Fun.
So that's it for now, warriors. Go out, create, serve, and be prosperous.